Amen. Precious in this hour. Now you have your Bible, want to turn with us. Very familiar scripture in 2 Kings chapter 13. Maybe start reading verse number 14. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse number 14. Amen. So glad to have everybody here. Amen. Our friends, and just pray that the Lord will help us to be a help to you. 2 Kings chapter 13, verse number 14. The Bible said here, "Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him, and wept over his face, and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel, and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows. And he said to the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. And he put his hand upon it, and Elisha put his hands upon the king's hands. And he said, Open the window eastward, and he opened it. Then Elisha said, Shoot, and he shot. And he said, The arrow of the Lord's deliverance, and the arrow of deliverance from Syria. For thou shalt smite the Syrians in Aphek till thou have consumed them. At verse 14, the Bible said, Now Elisha was fallen sick of his sickness, whereof he died. And Joash, the king of Israel, came down unto him and wept over his face and said, O my father, the chariot of Israel and the horsemen thereof. And Elisha said unto him, Take bow and arrows. And he took unto him bow and arrows, and he said unto the king of Israel, Put thine hand upon the bow. Right. Read just a little bit in the book of Numbers, very familiar portion of scripture here. Chapter number 11. Chapter 11, maybe verse 16, very familiar story here. Numbers chapter 11, verse 16, the Bible said, And the Lord said unto Moses, Gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be elders of the people, and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I'll come down and talk with thee there, and I'll take of the Spirit which is upon thee, and will put it upon them. And they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, thou shalt that thou bear it not thyself alone. In verse 25, the Bible said, And the Lord came down in a cloud, spake unto him, and took of the Spirit that was upon him, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, they prophesied and did not cease. There remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out into the tabernacle. And they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them.
All right.
The Bible said there, the last part of verse 25. It said, And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon them, They prophesied and did not cease. In verse 26, the last part of it, the Bible said, but these men went not out into the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And a young man ran and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. Amen. Read just one more place real quickly in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. We could probably all quote this verse. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse number 11. The Bible said here, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know even as also I am known. Now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three, but the greatest of these is charity. Paul said, when I was a child, I spake as a child. I understood as a child. I thought as a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Would you stretch your hand this way? I desire the Lord's help right here tonight. I do thank you, Lord, for your blessings. I thank you for what we've already heard right here this morning. I thank you for these wonderful testimonies that you've moved on your people to feed us with, to encourage us and strengthen us and instruct us with. I pray you'd help us, Lord, right here this day. I need your touch. I realize my feebleness. I recognize my inability. I don't trust in my ability. I trust in you. I lean upon you. And I ask you to help me, Lord, that I might be a help unto this group of people. And we praise you for it, for we know that all good things come from you. And we thank you in Jesus' wonderful name. Amen. If the Lord will help us for just a little while, I'd love to try to preach to us from these scriptures, the Lord being our helper. A very familiar story that we started out reading about Elisha. And he's dying and fixing to be gone. And the Bible said that this king comes to see him on his deathbed. And what a man Elisha was. I believe I'd want to go visit him too before he passed away. Not long ago, a good brother, Brother Buzzard, I'm sure about everybody here knew him, passed away. I didn't get to go to the funeral. But I sure would have loved to have seen him one last time. Why? Because I'd seen the Lord use him. I've been in the services with him when the Lord moved on him, and he blessed me. And he strengthened me. And he'd done some things in me that the Lord used him to do that I still hold and I remember and I retain unto this day. And that's the kind of man that Elisha was. He was dear. He was, I guess when he was fixing to die, it was recognized more than ever how much he was precious and how much he was needed and how dear he was unto this country. Right. It's that way with us most of the time. We really don't realize how precious and how dear and how needful things are until we get ready to lose them. And that's where this king is at. He's in a place that no doubt Elisha has prayed a many a prayer for this king. Elisha has helped him get out of a many a hard places. Elisha has stood in the gap for him. Elisha has made up the hedge for him.
Elisha as being the staff that this king has leaned on. Elisha as being this strong one, if you will, that this king has been in temptations. He has been in troubles. He has faced enemies. He's been in battles. He's been in wars that he knew in his heart, I can't win this on my own. And he would run to this man of God. And the man of God would put strength in him. And the man of God would put courage in him. And the man of God would put faith in him. He's leaned on this man. He's depended on this man. It'd be easy to lay down in Israel and close your eyes and go to sleep and not knowing what tomorrow will face. But it was easy to go to sleep knowing that Elisha is among us. Elisha is still living in our country, in our borders. And no matter what hold tomorrow holds, we've got a man that we can run to. No matter how bad it is, we can fall down outside his tent and say, pray. And we know when he prays that heaven hears and heaven answers. We've seen God work through him, and we've seen God work in him, and we trust and we lean on his ability and his walk with God. Amen. I've had many men, still got many men of God in my life that I trust in. I absolutely trust in. And when I face things that seemingly is overwhelming me, it just is comfort to know I can pick up the phone or I can put the key in the ignition and I can drive to where they're at and say, will you pray with me? Will you just get down here and seek the Lord with me? And I know that when they get to praying, even I got confidence in people right here. There's a time in my life we're going through something. As far as I know, Sister Mary Anthony has never called us. Except for one time. Only one time as she called us. But it was a very needful time. I've got confidence in people in this service. In people in this church. Even these that are around us. Right here. And that's why Joash runs to him. And he says the chariots of Israel and the horsemen thereof. What am I going to do when I don't have you to tell me of the Lord coming down in a chariot of fire and taking up Elijah? How am I going to make it if I don't have this tent to run to? How am I going to stand when a war comes or a battle starts and I know that you're in a grave and you can't speak to me and you can't talk to me and you can't pray for me, and I can hear that man of God saying these words, it's time for you to become a man. It's time for you to become a woman. It's time for you to learn how to touch heaven yourself. It is hard growing up. I remember when I lived at home. It don't seem like, brother, it's been a while ago, but it don't seem like it's been that long. I remember when it was so easy. If I got hungry, run to mama. I remember when it's so easy if I needed something at school or whatever to run to daddy. I know I've been working a little bit. I know you give me allowance, but I'm running a little low. I'm running a little short. Can you please forward me some, Dad? Son, I don't have to forward you none. I'll give it to you. I remember them times, but growing up is a hard thing to do. Having responsibilities come to you and realizing that I can't run to mama anymore. Oh, I know I could call my mama today. My dad's dead and gone, been gone a few years, but I know I could call my mama right now. Brother Chuck, I tell you, I know. He's been around my mom a little bit. She'd do anything for this boy, and it's humanly possible to do. If she had to suffer for it, she would. But there come a time, just like in this king's life, that the Lord just had to set me down. And he said, son, put your hand on the bow. No, Elisha, I want to see you shoot it. I want to see you pray. I want to listen to you. Even just like Abraham and Jacob and Isaac in days of old. Lay your hand on me on your deathbed and pray for me. Pronounce a blessing over me. It ain't going to work that way, son. I've got one thing to say to you. Put your hand on that bow. Because tomorrow I'll be gone. I'll depart. And you'll face something. And you need to know how to reach heaven. You need to know how to pray your way out of trouble. Put your hand to the plow. Be real easy to call mama. But I've had to learn, Brother Chuck. I faced some things that my mom don't know nothing about. And I just had to learn. When I was a child, I spake as a child. I acted as a child. I thought as a child. Bail me out. Get me out. Somebody just make a way for me. But when I become a man, I just had to get alone somewhere and just cry these eyes out. Say, Lord, I don't know how I'm going to get out of this one. But I want you to help me to get out of this one. There's some people in this life, I'll tell you why they out there burning the rubber on their car and on their tires. They don't pay for them. They don't have to work for them. Mama put a new set on there. Daddy will put a new set on there. It don't mean anything to them. When you work your own hands and you sweat your own brow and you put the tires on there, it gets a little harder just to burn them off in a few seconds. Why? Because I've become a man. I paid for them things. I worked for them things. And that's why it'll be harder for us to backslide when we pray some things down for ourselves. It ain't just somebody giving it to us. It ain't somebody just handing it to us. I worked for this. I labored for it. I sweated for it. I shed blood for it. And it's harder to give up. Why? Because I worked to give. Moses is there and he's saying, I can't take it. It's a lot of people on my shoulders, Lord. I need a little help. And the Lord said, that's what I've been wanting you to say, son. This is what I've been wanting. I didn't want you to suffer, but I wanted others to have what you have. Get 70 elders. Bring them out to the house of the Lord. 68 of them went, and 2 of them stayed in the camp. And the Bible said the cloud came down, and the Lord took that spirit, and He set it upon the 68. And they began to prophesy, and they did not cease. You hear, when they heard Moses prophesy, there was a cease to it. There was a stop to it. As soon as they walked out the doors, what Moses said seems like a long way off. What Moses said, it's dull in their hearing. But when they begin to prophesy themselves, it don't cease. That don't mean they preached 24 hours and testified 24 hours a day and never stopped. But when God moved on them, they remembered it. They retained it. They held it. And they didn't want to turn it loose.
Come on, brother.
But that wasn't nothing new. They had seen it fall in the church before. But 2 men takes off running. Or 1 man takes off running. And he comes to Moses and he says, what's happening in the church? Wouldn't have made me run and come to you. But something different's happening. He never happened before. There's 2 men. Not in a service. They ain't heard not one song sung. They ain't heard not one message preached. They ain't heard not one person get anointed and testify. But they're down there in the camp at their house. And they're prophesying in the camp. My Lord Moses, would you forbid this? Hear me just a little while. That's where we need it the most. I thank God for moving right here. But when we become a man, when we leave our childhood, even it'll not only touch us here, but outside, at our workplace, on our job, riding down the road, we'll realize I don't have to have them pour a bottle of oil on top of my head to reach God. My voice can touch Him. My hands can reach Him. My feet can walk for Him. I'd love for somebody to become a man and become a woman in this service. Grow up and say, Lord, let me have it. Let me receive it. Use me. Paul and Peter, two great preachers, get together, have a little disagreement. Paul and Barnabas, rather. Barnabas wants to take John Mark. Paul wants to take Silas. Paul went so far as to say John Mark was unprofitable. He wasn't profitable for the ministry. But I guarantee you, he never let John Mark hear. Because John Mark never lost confidence in that preacher. He didn't get in front of John Mark and say, he's unprofitable. He took Barnabas off to the side somewhere. And them two alone discussed. I think we need to take Silas. I think we need to take John Mark. Well, whichever one we take, we're not going to run the other one down. We're not going to tell him, hey, you don't need to listen to Paul. He didn't even like you. You don't need to listen to Barnabas. He didn't even want you. That was just between them two preachers. But the Bible said that Paul looked at him. I don't know why. That Paul thought he was unprofitable. Maybe he just hadn't become a man yet. But later on in Paul's life, I can read where he said, I want you to send John Mark, for he is profitable to me, and he is profitable unto the ministry. A few days ago, I couldn't say that, but I walked by his house, and I heard him. He was praying heaven down. I felt the Spirit of God. Hear me, church. That's what we would love to see in you and in every one of us. We couldn't say that a while ago, but I've seen them. They grew up. They grew in the Lord. They grew in His grace. They prospered in His Word. Even in this hour, we need men and women that will grow up and be used of God. Onesimus, one place the Bible said he was unprofitable. I'll tell you like this. There was a time the Lord had saved me. I was a child. I thought like a child. In services and in life, I acted like a child. Because a child can be easily swayed. A child's emotions are up and they're down. A child's thoughts are just little and minute. You can just about convince them and teach them and tell them anything, and they'll buy it hook, line, and sinker. And I know I ain't nothing, brother, but I thank God that through some hard knocks, He helped me to grow up just a little bit. And there come a time in my life it wouldn't just run to Elisha and say, get your bow out, get your arrows out, and shoot some deliverance for me. But I had to put my hand on that bow. I had to put my hand on that doorknob. I had to open that closet all by myself. You remember what Jesus said? He said, in one place, sell your sword. But in another place, He said, sell what you got and buy a sword. There was a time, Peter, that the Lord would look at you and He'd say, Peter, Satan had desired you, but that He might sift you as wheat. And while you slept, I prayed for you that your faith fail not. But I'm fixing to go away, Peter. You better buy you a sword. There'll come a time in your life that you can't sleep through a battle. There'll come a time in your life that you can't sleep through a temptation. You're going to have to learn to get in the garden and pray. You're going to have to learn to get alone and pray that thing out. I believe Jesus told us just what Elisha told Joash. When somebody comes to the disciples needing help, they couldn't help. So they went running to Jesus and He said these words, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? I don't want to see no more of our elders go on that precious way because it saddens our heart. I'll tell you what I do want to see. More people with their hand on the bow. More people that are growing up in the Lord. Amen. Grow in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I know some gray-headed people that are not grown up yet. I know some gray-headed people that are still childish in some of their ways. I know some gray-headed people. I've got a grandmother that, I don't know, is pushing 80 years old, got a broke back and in bad shape, but she thinks just like a child. Why haven't you called me? Don't my children love me anymore? And they go to see her just about every week. What's wrong? Poor little pranks and little things. Just thinking like a child. Hear me, there's people in God's house that are the exact same way. And that's why Moses looked at him and said, I'm not going to forbid that. That's what we've been needing. We need somebody that'll move on them at home. That's where they've been falling. That's where they've been erring. They didn't fall in God's house. They fell outside, away from the anointing. But if they get it in their heart and grow up and take it home with them, they'll stand. They'll last. They'll endure.
Yes, sir.
If my wife or somebody would get us a song, man. Well, that's a king. That's why he needed his hand on the bow. It was just a little maid that convinced Naaman. Just a little maid. She didn't have time to run and get her preacher. She grew up and she witnessed to somebody and convinced them. Just a little woman had it seen many bring their box and get blessed for it, but she brought her alabaster box unto the Lord. She grew up that day. Whether she knew it or not, she broke it. She poured it out on His feet.
Right.
She began to wash His feet. And she began to dry it with her hair. And Jesus turned around to some of them men in that place and said, when I come in, you wash not my feet. But since I came in, hath this woman not ceased to wash my feet with her tears and her box of ointment and to dry it with her hair. And this right here that she had done, shall be a memorial for her that shall never be forgotten. And that's why this bottle is up here on this table. For the Lord told us to do it in remembrance of what that little woman did many years ago. That don't sound like a childish feat to me. Does it to you? The Bible said there, they begin to prophesy and they did not cease. Hear me just a little while. That's what we want out of this meeting. That something would get started and it would not stop and it would not end, but it would keep going and growing and growing. Hear me, John Mark. You can become a man today. It don't take long to grow up in God. You just have to say, I'm going to square my shoulders back and be a man. Stand with us, if you will. Somebody said it wasn't the Syrians that beat Joash. It was Joash. We do that when we're childish. We defeat ourselves. We do that when we're not grown up because we won't go far enough.
Yeah.
I got two children I love with all of my heart. They ain't going to do no more than what I tell them. Just enough to get by. Just enough to keep my belt off of them is what they'll do. And no more. But a part of growing up is starting to go a little further. Not just doing what I'm told to do. Part of growing up is walking by a piece of trash.
Yeah.
When you're a child, you walk right by it because you wasn't told to pick it up.
Yeah. Yeah.
Part of growing up is reaching down there and picking it up. Did somebody tell you to do that? No. I just know it needs to be done.
Yeah. Hallelujah. Touching God.
Hallelujah.
And it's the same way in the house of God. Did somebody tell you to stay up at night and pray? Did somebody tell you to get up in the morning and pray? Did somebody tell you to read your Bible? Did somebody tell you to weep and fast a little bit? No. I just know. It's what I need to do. That's a sign of somebody growing up. I don't want to stay the same age. Lord, let me grow up. Let me prophesy and not cease. Let me put my hand on the bow. I thank God for Brother Steve Gentry. I still call him a lot. But there's times in my life I've cried recently and said, Lord, I would like to call Brother Steve and say, tell me what to do.
Yeah.
Jimmy, tell you what I want to do. Pack up my bags and ride. But something inside of me said, just get down, son.
Yeah.
Face it.
Yeah.
Just get down on your knees, son, and face it. Deal with it. Look it right in the eyes and say, I may have run yesterday, but today I'm not moving. While they sing this altar song, come. Would you like to grow? Come put your hand on the bow. Your hand. Your hand on the bow. You shoot the arrows. You open the window. Nobody opened Daniel's window for him. Daniel opened the window. And that's why Daniel could go to the lion's den. Because he's the one that prayed the victory down. He's the one that prayed the strength to face it. You've got to open your own window. Nobody can open it for you.
If you can use anything,
for us
Lord,
to get the strength to make it, we've got to shoot the arrows.
If you can
we've got to open
anything,
the window.
Lord, you can use
call on Him,
me.
Friends. Call on Him.